got this?
What is this again?
Roughish Registry Podcast.
Oh, that's right.
That's still going on?
It's a thing.
Yeah.
I came out of retirement. Thank you, Lance Wheeler, for the phone calls and the Hallmark cards.
Yeah, happy birthday and retirement all in one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here we are.
So I'm Chase Wilmoth. I don't know if everybody's forgot.
Mm-hmm. My name is Pate Shoemaker. I'm taking my talent to South Beach. So,
who's sitting across from me?
The Cashmere one.
You can introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. This is Trevor Shoemaker.
Mm.
The Cashmere Killer.
Yeah.
Yes.
He is here.
It's been a while getting him here.
You know,
we've recorded a couple episodes. Yeah. We're trying to, you know.
He gets invited a lot of the time. Sometimes he's like, whatever.
Gotta play with his pigs or.
His pigs are no more.
The pigs are in the freezer.
Is that you when you said you had your own bacon tonight?
That's correct.
I had them for breakfast yesterday.
Yeah?
They were tasty.
Tasty.
You know what? I've never had a farm-raised hog. Never have. Have you had before?
No.
No? Did the sausage taste different to you?
It tastes very different. The bacon tastes different.
I bet. I'll say this. When I was eating the sausage, like a sausage patty yesterday, I thought, this tastes like meat. Like,
not like pig, pork?
Well, no. Like, you go to, like, wherever, Denny's or something, you get sausage and just so much salt and seasoning and stuff like that. It's just like that whole culmination. And this was like sausage, but like had a meat taste. Like, I don't, that sounds weird, but
the bacon is the same way. Like,
it's good though.
All that stuff. Like, I was eating some for dinner and I was like, this bacon. It like, there's so much less salt and like, it tastes way more like meat.
Real flavor.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's probably because, I mean, you fed it out and you kind of know what's been eaten and hadn't been eaten.
Mm-hmm.
Other pigs and stuff like that.
No, you were pretty serious about it. I tried to throw a carp in there one time and he was like, no. So.
Well, they say those bears up in, where is it, Canada or Alaska, the black bears and brown bears,
mm-hmm.
like if you kill them and they've been eating fish. Like, they taste like fish.
Yeah. That's why I think a lot of times they like the spring bears, because they taste like
blueberries.
Blueberries and blackberries and all that, little berries and stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good random story right there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, pigs and bears, about the same thing.
Yeah. Deer. So we took off. Gosh, I don't even know when our last episode was.
Well, it was episode number...
October 8th?
26. And October 9th.
October 9th.
So, wow, it's been
five weeks. I'd like to say I've been deer hunting and doing a lot of bow fishing, but I've mainly just been deer hunting.
Yeah, I mean, comes with the territory this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, the rut gets to rolling and get to doing a little traveling, going to hunting different places. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Yep, we all did a little hunting this fall, didn't we? So, obviously, outside, you know. Normal archery season in Missouri, and Arkansas and Kansas and Oklahoma, things like that.
Yeah, I've only hunted in Missouri with my bow.
Oh yeah,
three times.
Mm.
Yeah, it's been horrible.
I've been on a lot of hunts, but I've only been for myself three times. I haven't seen anything sitting by myself. It's kind of a drag.
You got a camera or something, didn't you?
I got a camera. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Got a camera, and I got to, it's for work, really, but I snuck it away for some tree stand filmage, and didn't see anything, and saw a bobcat, and got to film a bobcat for, like, 10 minutes.
Them things are cool.
It was really cool, isn't it? Like, I've never actually, first time ever seeing one from the tree stand.
Yeah.
And, Probably had a bunch pass by, but I just never saw it.
Just the way they move and...
So slow.
Yeah.
And then I got on film too. It, like, attacked a bird.
Did it get it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was, like, lightning fast.
It was, like, the fastest thing I've ever seen.
I'll clip it down and post it. It's actually really cool.
Heck so. Yeah.
And then it just catted around. It just walked around like a cat.
Well, you should go down and pet it.
I kind of wanted to. I almost, when I first saw it, I thought about shooting it, and then I was like, well, actually, no, I know it's not in season, But two, I kind of just want to watch this thing. And then I was really glad I did.
Yeah.
And you just let it walk away.
So
good times.
So our hunting season actually got started with Cashmere Killer. He kind of got the early jump on us and went and tell us about it.
Went out to the southwest corner of Colorado and did some archery elk hunting with a buddy that I work with, Jared Johnson. She's been on the podcast, I think, one time briefly before the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went out there on a 10-day trip. I can't remember what day it was, but he misstepped or something. And kind of jacked up his knee a little bit. We ended up calling the trip early just because downhill was just impossible. And
it was a challenging unit.
Oh yeah, it was public land. So
was this DIY or was it? Do you have a guide or something?
No, it's just all DIY. And so we bought our tags over the counter at Walmart and drove out there. And one thing that was a big help was. Jared's cousin John went there the year before, and after about 5 days, he killed a bull by himself. And it's a great unit. There's tons of elk, and there are very few hunters. And there's a huge reason for that. It's because the terrain is just absolutely terrible. And you'll hear this all the time. Like all the elk hunters you ever talk to is, oh my gosh, yeah, all the deadfall, and all everything's steeper than the cow's face.
So deadfall, is that, and that's just a tree that's fell over, kind of, right. Like, just laying on the ground?
Yes. Okay. And, you know, anywhere you go in Colorado, you're going to find a lot of that. But this place, I've hunted three different places in Colorado for elk, and this place was, like, by far the absolute most steep. It's either straight down or it's straight up. And I think base camp was at... done the math, it's 3,000 meters above sea level, and then the bottom of the creek was 2,400 meters above sea level.
Holy moly.
So it's, you know, every day you go down all the way.
So you camped up high, and then you would hike down to hunt.
Yep.
Gotcha.
And found a lot of elk, just, you know, couldn't get a clear shot. You know, if we were shooting rifles or muzzleloaders, we'd have both tagged out on the second day, but you know we're shooting archery equipment, so you really have to have a clear shot.
Yeah.
Do you think you could go back in muzzleloader season?
I would absolutely go back to that unit if I had a muzzleloader tag.
Can you get a muzzleloader tag on top of the archery tag?
I don't think.
It's not over the counter though, is it?
No, you have to draw that unit for a muzzleloader tag.
Gotcha.
And it takes muzzleloader tags are highly sought after just because. It makes elk hunting way easier. In my opinion, it's probably the easiest way to hunt elk.
Yeah. Hmm. Is muzzleloader season during, what, I guess, the rut?
It's the same later? Time as archery.
Oh, okay.
So when those bulls are screaming and they're out of their minds, it's a done. I mean, at least the three years I've been, I would have killed a super nice bull every single year.
So this is your third trip out there?
This was my third archery trip. I went out in gun season one. My very first year was in gun season.
I had some other reason that I was asking that question. I completely forgot.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I have yet to kill an elk. I've had countless, over a dozen close calls, you know, bulls at 35, 40 yards. But there's just tons of trees and timber, and it's thick where they like to hang out, and, you know, I'm not going to let an arrow fly unless I have a clear shot.
Yeah. Do you call? Do you do any calling, or is it kind of just...
I call a little. Jared is an exceptional caller. He bugles well. He cow calls well, and I can cow call a little bit, but I can bugle enough to get it done, but his sound much, much better than mine.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to sneeze. I'm sorry. I lost my total train of thought.
Look at the light.
Does that help?
Yeah, that's what my wife says.
Okay, all right. Yes. Maybe it helped. I think so. Thank you, Chelsea.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So.
Next on the list. So, yeah.
Me?
Yeah. So, well, No, I'll go next.
I'll go next.
Okay, you go next.
All right. So, like I said earlier, I've been in a tree stand 3 or 4 times in Missouri. You know, I've been out with my kids quite a bit. What are you doing?
Hold the mic closer to your face.
I feel like it's really loud.
The right direction.
Okay, sorry. So,
watch the little lines. It helps. Okay.
So I've been out a couple times by myself with my bow, and then we've had youth season, I guess, end of October, I think. I went out with both my boys, and they're, it feels bad to say this, they're very picky. Like, they want to shoot a good deer. So we have not got a deer yet. We're going to go again in the morning. We're recording this on a Saturday night, so we've got gun season still rolling until Tuesday, I think. So, but other than that, I made a week-long trip out to Kansas. It's my second year out there. And, you know, everybody says, go to Kansas, it'll be fun. You know, there's big deer everywhere. And it's really, it's true, but it's not. I mean, there is a ton of big deer out there, but it's not like you just walk out there and
just shoot one.
Yeah. I mean, they're nocturnal, and you know, it's my second year. Didn't kill a deer last year. I didn't kill a deer this year. I thought it was gonna happen. I was shaking like crazy in the tree this one morning. Mm-hmm. Had a big 10-point come by about 60 yards. Basically just running like a scrape line. And he went up this little creek, and he went up about 200 yards and turned around, came right back down the other side, following a trail. Well, let me go back. So the night before this hunt, the same deer came out down the creek from me. He was locked down with the doe. I mean, wherever she went, he was going. And she was following this tree row down towards me, and I thought it was going to happen then. I thought she was going to follow this tree row down, and I was going to get about a 20-yard shot, maybe less. So she decides at about 80 yards to just cut across this massive cornfield, like cut cornfield. And he followed her, and it was right at dark. And then she decides to bed down right in the middle of this cornfield with this buck standing right by her. And I set my stand till like, I don't know, probably 30 minutes after dark, and it was freezing my butt off. So I got down and walked down this creek to get out of there. And then the next morning was that other encounter where he come by going up the creek, and then he turns, comes back down it. And same deal, I thought it was going to happen. I mean, he was running a scrape. He wasn't with the doe at this point. He was running a scrape line all the way down this tree row with a creek in it. And he must have forgot that he'd bred this doe the night before and hit that line where she cut across and caught her scent, I guess, from the night before. And he was gone. He took off across the field following that where he'd went the night before. So, yeah.
That's a bummer.
Oh, I was bummed. But, I mean, that can't. I mean, we go up there. So it's me, Jeff Neeball, Tommy, Shorty, and Hunter, and then another gentleman from Georgia, Mark Harris. So we get to go eat dinner every night and BS, talk about bow fishing, and just basically have a good time. And so, yeah, I definitely look forward to it every year. So.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like a great trip. You know, you just come back with a lot of stories, and you tell me where all the secret spots are.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
Yeah. No, it's funny because, you know, I think I told you, I said, I've never talked about bow fishing so much and learned so little.
Right. It was all
like
it failed.
It's all in generality.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Oh, remember that one spot, Shorty, we went, and, you know, yeah, I remember that.
Had that boat ramp.
Yeah, that one boat ramp with the gravel
on
the
side. It was dark. Yeah. It was dark.
Yeah, we shot fish.
It was a good time. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, we had a good time. And it's my wife made us some killer food when we were up there.
Oh, man.
Yeah. She made some baked spaghetti. And I guess 2 pans of baked spaghetti and apple pie.
Oh
man. Oh, snap. Good. That was gone after the first night.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, cool. You gonna go back next year?
I may go back in 2 weeks.
Oh.
Yep. Try to, I don't know what the date is. I'm gonna try to get out there before gun season opens, which is first Tuesday or Wednesday in December. I don't remember
that. Really? It's that late in Kansas?
Huh. Yeah, their gun season's way late. I think it's...
Is it shotgun or rifle? Is it rifle?
It's rifle, yeah.
Is it rifle? Okay.
Yeah. Don't they have a super early muzzleloader season like Arkansas does?
They have a youth and disabled season like the first week of bow season, so like September 12th or something like that. And I don't know if muzzleloader is included with that or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm.
So I think that's why they have such big deers. I mean, all the food, but they sure. don't shoot them during the rut with rifles.
Yeah. It kind of makes it easy, but even in Missouri, I haven't seen all the turnout numbers, but opening weekend I know was pretty soft.
Yeah.
As far as numbers taken, it's, you know.
I thought it was going to be pretty good. I mean, with the cold and...
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and the rut kind of hitting perfectly.
Well, and this morning didn't help either, you know, the second Saturday, and it was 70 degrees and the wind's howling.
Oh, man.
I rode the tree like it was a... Category 4 hurricane.
I think I texted you when I was in Kansas. I got out of the tree and I was like, man, I jumped out of the tree and threw my hat in the air and waved my hands like a bull rider. I need spurs for this ride.
That's right. Is that the Stairway to Heaven one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that tree. Chad hung that stand with me.
Yes, you know it was wiry to begin with.
And Chad is a smaller guy and pretty, he's a lineman, so he's
nimble.
He's very nimbly bimbly. And so I went to get up in the stand. Well, I had like bibs on and a backpack. And
looked like Santa Claus climbing, trying to climb a tree.
I mean, I felt like I climbed and climbed and climbed, and I finally got to it. I got to the stand. Well, then, so this tree goes from the main trunk, and then it splits three ways. And like you went up the main trunk with a set of sticks, and then the sticks go up to the left trunk, and you have to go up the left trunk. But between that gap, you have to kind of get in there on the limb. And yeah. And then it goes from, that's two sets of sticks on the next one. And then you have to jump back to the left side. And there's actually on the left and right trunk, there's screw-in steps. So you have to kind of work back and forth to get up and then get up into the stand. And then my backpack got hung up.
Oh, of course.
It was too tight to get between the...
Oh, it looked gnarly. Like yeah. Yeah. I can't...
It just works.
Clanging all the way up.
Oh, I'm like a ninja when I climb a tree.
No, my favorite's like you get up there and it's super quiet and you start pulling your bow up or whatever and some wind comes and just racks it straight into the...
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
I had a pretty... So this year, on my birthday, I take off on birthday every year, October 31st, to try and shoot a buck with my bow. And I got a climber stand. And I've never used a climber, and I found a pretty decent spot in this, like, river bottom. And I found a straight tree, and I didn't have to trim any limbs. It's like, oh, perfect. You know, this is great. And I went and put it on the tree the night before and made sure, you know, once I got to the top, my platform was going to be flat. You know, you kind of have to adjust those climber stands. And so everything's fine. I got everything set up. Went back that morning, and it was cold. It was like one of the coolest mornings. I think it was 29. And I had a long walk in, and I was just, I know better, but I was just drenched in sweat by the time I got there. And it was 5 a.m. I like to get in there super early. And I climb on that stupid climber and start working my way up. And I'm you know, huffing and puffing. And I turn my headlight on to see how far up the tree I am. I'm only like 10 feet. It took me forever to get up there. And at that point, I decided, like, I got to shed some layers. I'll have a heart attack before I get to the top. I'm just sweating way too much. I'm going to freeze as soon as I cool down. And so I took my coat off and my neck warmer and my hat and put it all in my backpack. And so I start marching up the tree and I get up there 20 feet and I, you know, tie in my safety harness and make sure I'm safe. And I put my coat back on and my neck warmer and I go to pull my bow up, and I'm all dialed in and ready, and I start looking for my hat, and I can't find it. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. My hat is all the way at the bottom of this tree. So I turned my headlight on, and there it is, you know, 20 feet down. And if I were in a regular stand, I would just climb down and get it. But since I was in a climber, it's like, well, I'm not doing that. So I sat there for probably 20 minutes in the dark, and the top of my head, not a lot of insulation up there.
Yeah.
So I started getting super cold, and I decided I was going to go fishing with my arrow. So I tied one of my arrows on with a broadhead to my string that I pulled my bow up with, and it was just, I lowered my arrow all the way down to where the hat was, and I just tried to hook it just a little bit. And I got it caught on the arrow, pulled my hat all the way back up, and after that, I was golden. I was golden. But yeah, that was a tough morning.
Ingenuity.
Yep. The ingenuity of the cashmere killer.
Yep.
That's why he's here, for that wisdom.
Climbing stands always have scared me, because like, I'm not a small guy. And then once I get like all my clothes on, I don't know, I could probably be pushing that, you know, I'm not going to say I pushed that 300 pounds, because I'm only about 240 or 250, but you get close to that number with all your clothes on and boots and backpack. And
sure, yeah. My climber stories, we got climbers last year, and I hadn't even had an opportunity to use mine yet, and Trevor had just put his out together in the yard. And I saw it, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to go try that out. So I go sit in this thing, and I'm like trying. I'm trying to hook my legs in the stirrups or whatever, and like trying to skinny up this tree, and I can't get anywhere. I'm like, man, I'm going to have to take this thing back, because I do not know how to use it. So I pulled out first week of September this year. I was like, I'm going to have to figure this out. You know, I got to practice. I'm sure I'm going to have to practice. And I'm putting it together, and I pull the instructions out, and I see the dude sitting backwards.
That's right, I forgot.
So you were sitting forward?
Yeah, I was sitting in the seat.
I don't even have a climber, and I knew that.
I'd never seen anybody do it. And
that would make it difficult.
I just remember being like, man, I'm not like out of shape or brain dead, but this is hard. And went out there and hooked it to the tree, and just skinnied up the tree like it was nothing. I was like, oh, that's how that's supposed to work.
Hmm.
Made me feel really smart.
So, how's your deer season been?
Oh, heartache. I don't know. That's not a good word. It wasn't my deer to kill. But
just the big deer we talked about.
Yeah.
5 episodes ago.
Yeah. It's my uncle's deer to kill. Well, he didn't kill it. So, but anyway,
Big Dan,
that's a grass carp. Oh, yeah, we call this guy, carp. We call this dude Uncle Bob, because he, so a little backstory. My uncle has this property, and he always deer hunts, and he's always put some food plots out, and he has for like 3 or 4 years, long time. And we were convinced there were just some biggins back there. We're like, there's gotta be. So last June, I talked him into letting me put some cameras down there for him. So I go put one camera out over this field.
On the drive-in, remember we...
On the drive-in, we jumped a bunch. It was all grown up. And we saw a biggin.
One was a dandy.
So we were like, oh man, here we go. So we put this camera up, and we let it sit for a week or two. This is, you know, second week of June, I think. And I go back, and I pop the card in the computer, and it says 7 pictures. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like, we jump deer every time we come down. There's 7 pictures. And I'm not kidding. It's 6 pictures of the wind, and then 1 perfect side profile of Uncle Bob.
So explain Uncle Bob.
So we didn't name him. I didn't name him until this year. I didn't want to, like, I think it's always kind of weird to name him. But we always called like the big one or whatever, and it's like, he's a name. So at that point, we didn't have a name. So he was a mainframe 8, and probably 140-ish on his mainframe. And then he had a kicker on each side, off his G1, so Flyers or whatever you call it.
And G2s.
G2. And then a drop tine off his right side.
Yeah.
And we were just like, whew, you know, big deer. Never
big
seen
drop
it.
Big drop tine, right?
Big drop tine.
Yeah.
The drop tine broke off later that summer or right before the season. And anyway, we followed him all last summer. And just pretty much a ghost during season. Didn't have any pictures of him. Never saw him. My uncle only gun hunts. So we were just like, man, this is going to be tough to kill him in gun season. Never had another picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So fast forward to this summer. So we put a camera out about the same May, June-ish time. And sure enough, here he comes. So we're seeing him pretty much regularly.
Yeah, seeing him more. More last year or more this year?
More this year.
Yeah.
He always came, he was always coming to a mineral site and, or food. Never.
And the mineral site was before.
Yeah, it was.
Not that matters.
But anyway, so watched him all summer. He's, at this point, we were like, probably a 150 with in addition to the accessories. So
that's was he I, still an 8, or did he go to a 10?
Yes, he was still an 8. He had two small points coming to a 10. And we, at this point, last year I sent his picture in to a group, and they thought, you know, definitely 4.5. That's the consensus that probably 30 guys said, 4.5. So this year, 5.5, he put some mass on. He was bigger, for sure. And
did he have double drop tines?
At this point, he had double drop tines, and his right side was probably 9 inches long. And his left side was probably 5 or 6.
Hmm.
And each flyer was 5 or 6 inches. And then he had just a bunch of other trash.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was big. I mean, it would have been the most unique deer killed in Golden. Right? And probably is now.
Oh, yeah.
And so we decided to get my uncle a crossbow.
Yeah.
And so we hunted opening day, and we had missed encounters, so we would hunt, he'd be there next day. We'd hunt, we'd skip a day, not trying to overpressure the situation, but then he's still coming in. So I talked to a lot of people. I talked to Chase, talked to Trevor, called Darren Freeze.
Yeah.
He always kills big deer.
Yeah.
It's like, I talked to probably 5 or 6 people, and I was like, I don't know what to do. It's like every other day. 5 days, you know, so over 10 days, it was every other day. He was coming in. And the last time we hunted, it was 2 days in a row. And the day before that day was the last time we had a picture of him. And that was September 21st. And then we did not get a picture of him again. And I had 12 camera sites and did not get a picture of him until October 29th.
Just one, right?
Just one picture. It was like he came out in the trail, looked right. I got a picture of the back of his head. He still had his drop, both drop tines. And I was like, he's alive. Holy crap. Like,
mm-hmm.
we'd heard another, the farm over, that somebody poached a deer and left, cut the head off and left the body in the field.
Yeah.
So, I was like, if anybody's going to poach a deer, that is, you know, it's that one. And, anyway, so opening morning hits, and we're sitting in a big old redneck bale blind and watch 13 deer come out and having a nice morning. And, there's a farm right next to this one, and we heard a shot at about 8:30, and my uncle's heart was, he instantly was like, I hope that wasn't him.
This was opening a gun
season. Opening a gun season, opening last Saturday. And I was like, oh, I was like, man, we only got... I said, I've had so many cameras. It's like, I really don't think it was him. And so about 30 minutes go by.
Pate texted me.
Mm-hmm.
They heard a shot that sounded close. And I know where that stand is on the neighboring property. I'm friends with the neighbors.
Yeah.
And so we opened a group text real quick. Just asked them if they were out there.
Yeah. And when he told me he heard a shot, I was like, you probably ought to go check that out. I just knew in my heart, I was like, oh no.
See, I was in total denial. So, this, you can tell where the story's going. So 30 minutes go by. He's ready. He's kind of, but at this point, it's like 9:15. And he needed to go add a layer. So we got out, and I said, hey, I'm going to walk. I had a camera right down this power, by this power line. So I go pull the camera, and I peek into the power line, and I see a guy standing in the stand. And I'm like, well, he didn't kill anything because he's still sitting in the stand. So I'm like, oh, okay, good. He just missed. Great. It was only one shot.
Yeah.
This property has a locked gate that only two people have the code to. Anyway, long story short, we back out and go around, and we come back to see whose vehicle it was on the farm, because we were just curious.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to start going on the road, and the gate's open.
Oh.
And we've never seen this gate open, ever. And there's only two people that know this code. So instantly, we're both like, oh my gosh. You know, so we go down the road, we see this truck coming, and a truck full of dudes, and the family that owns this farm, and we're like, hey guys, what's going on? You know, first of all, I've never seen them on the property.
Yeah,
especially on that side.
On that side, ever. And they're like, yeah, Brad shot a deer. I was like, oh, great. You got it in the truck? And he's like, yeah, it's a big one. Double drop tines. I was like, you know, and at first I was like, oh, they're just messing with us. We climbed out and looked in the bed, and there he was.
Uncle Bob.
Uncle Bob died. He broke off his right side, the big drop tine. It's, you know, it was 8 or 9 inches, and it was gone. So that's a bummer for sure. But still, heck of a deer. Yeah. We heard a gross score of 162, which seemed a little bigger than what I thought after I saw him. I guess we'll see. And they may have added that. I don't know.
Yeah, if they added that, they added that original drop time that broke off, you know, sure.
I could see that, yeah.
I think they're going to try to replicate it.
Yeah, so.
I would. It's a cool.
And it's funny because the guy that actually killed it used to, is a family friend, and Mr. Brad Farwell, who we've actually talked about trying to get on the show. He's a fish biologist at Roy River State Park.
Yeah.
And his family's always let him hunt on them, kind of a big group thing, and it's just cool that he got to kill it. No one knew.
I mean, at least someone killed it legit and didn't.
Yeah, you know it could have been. That's true. And we were all we're super, super happy for him and genuinely. The story's over.
I'm just happy for him because it's one of those hunts that, like, I feel like few people get to experience. They just, like, go out, hang a stand.
Zero expectations.
Zero expectations. I mean, they may not see a deer.
So they didn't have any trail camera pictures.
They didn't know that deer existed.
None. They didn't know.
That's even better.
And
they had sitting there. The looks on their faces whenever they were, like, showing it to us, they were still just, like, in total shock.
Yeah. They didn't know deer like that existed.
And they instantly, they were like, oh, you knew he was back here. Because the look on our face was like,
there goes
18 months of, like, slobbering. Down the drain, but, you know, it is what it is, and there's a lot of nice deer in Golden, but that one was by far and away, you know, the big one, the best one we'd ever seen.
I always wonder how many deer like that are around
that never exist, or no one ever knows.
No one ever knows,
right?
I mean, like, I know just around my house, you know, there's like 140, 150 inch bucks killed all the time, and I'm just like, you know. How can I have a picture of these?
You know? Oh, dude, I'm telling you. 12 camera sites.
Yeah.
And each camera, I only had, it was 4 cameras out at one time. But every fresh rub scrape I could find on, it's about an 85-acre piece of property in a huge neighborhood to the east and west. So I thought, man, they're just, you know, they're going over there and, I don't know.
Them deer are smart. I
mean, oh, man. Yeah. But then for him to die opening morning chasing, you know, it's like, gosh.
Yeah, amazing.
So unlike him, just because, you know, deer around here don't get that old. If someone shoots a huge deer, you take it to a taxidermist, it's like, yeah, it's 3.5.
Yeah.
And to have a 4.5 or a 5.5, it's like, you know, he wasn't just stupid, like, running around aimlessly chasing does. Like, I mean, he was probably strictly nocturnal. I mean, the property's not huge. To have 12 different camera locations and only have one picture, it's like, what? He's not checking scrapes. He's not... What is he doing?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, It was fun, though. It was a good experience, for sure, for me and for my uncle, that, you know, just because you see him for 2 years doesn't mean you're going to be the one that gets to pull the trigger.
Oh, I know the feeling, for sure.
Oh, I know. You've had your fair share of that up there. It seems like you grow them, and they move away, and your neighbors kill them.
Yep. My dad killed a... Gosh, I don't know if I told that story. I was a freshman in high school.
The biggest deer ever.
And scored 240 and 3/8. That was gross. Net scored 190-something. Freaking giant. Back before trail cameras existed, it was just like we'd heard there was a big deer living in this area, and we did a deer drive through this little timber during gun season, and out runs a moose.
Dude, we almost need to... So, this is a funny story. We have a couple buddies here in Golden, and I was saying one time, we were right when we first started hanging out, like about 2 years ago, started hanging out with this guy, and he was like, we were talking about deer, and he's like, man, he's like, have you ever seen that picture of that buck that guy killed in Mount Vernon? And I was like, we had just been, you know, been friends about a year. Yeah. And I was like, I didn't say anything. And he was like, I think they own that, the truck stops. And I was like, yeah, I have seen that one. I said, that's, you know, I know Chase, that was his dad. He's like, man. He's like, I had that picture, I had that newspaper clipping on my wall, like, when I was in middle school. I mean, he was like, he knew everything about it.
Yeah, he knows everyone's deer.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that he knew that one, he was just like,
what? It's like, oh, this guy's a weirdo. Yeah.
So creeping on everything. We unloaded on it, me and Dad. I had a .22-250, he had a .270. And we both emptied our guns and never touched it. It was running. He was running at, like, you know, 250, 300 yards. And
I thought you were going to say 250 miles an hour.
Mach 3.
He was moving.
So.
Dale Jr. fast.
So we go. We weren't for sure if we hit it or not. So we go and ask this lady whose timbers it ran into. Like, hey, can we go look for this deer? So we set up on the other side of it. And Dad, he walked over the hill. And these big deer, we're just talking about deer being smart. He jumped out of a thicket that was probably the size of a pickup truck. And Dad smoked him right there. Freaking! It's the only deer my dad says ever shot that he's knocked it to the ground with the first shot, and it got up, and he shot it again, and he knocked it down, and it got up and jumped a fence, and then it finally staggered and fell.
Hmm.
And these weren't like, you know, he didn't shoot in the butt or anything. I mean, he was right in the boiler room.
Yeah, that, it's a, it looks, it even looks big, like, where it's mounted. I've seen pictures of where it's mounted in his house, and you don't just put any deer there because it would look like a dwarf, this thing still looks freaking huge.
Yeah.
So, it was a cool deer.
So, yeah, deer seasons, I guess we got till January 15th for bow. And
yeah, yeah.
A couple more days for guns, so.
I just need a meat doe.
Yeah.
We're still growing ours. We got three or four.
Working on the marbling.
Yeah, yeah.
Feeding them out.
Yeah. No, I'm really hoping they figure out how to eat soybeans, because I got 4 acres.
They enjoyed them while they were green.
I'll tell you this. Last year, I let mine stand like you guys have, and they didn't touch them. This year, there's been deer in them every night with it being cold.
With them brown?
Brown, yeah.
I'm hoping they figure it out, because I'm thinking, well, I'm almost thinking we might brush hog, like, a portion of it. I've heard that they'll...
I wouldn't.
Nope. No. Just like a couple laps? No. Okay. All right.
Unless you're, like, wanting to see, like, down these... I mean, I know they're thick, but...
Oh, dude. I can't say enough about, like, if you're wanting to... If I had, like, a massive herd of deer, and I'm trying to, like, keep them fed, mm-hmm. there's no question I'd plant Eagle Seed. But I just don't have as many as the size of the food plot that I planted.
You will. They'll eventually.
Well, when it's 5 feet tall.
You don't know if they're really there or not.
Oh, my gosh. When it's green, it's like a jungle.
Yeah, they're in there just, like, rolling around.
Oh, I hope.
Yeah.
But I'm almost like, maybe just a regular old soybean seed that's not so tall.
Yeah, it's hard to walk through.
No, it is. It is. So are you guys ready to go shoot some buffalo?
Oh, yeah. I've been thinking about bow fishing the last 10 days.
I kind of have too. Chad called me like 2 days ago. He's like, I'm getting the shakes. I got to go shoot a fish.
Where you want to go? You don't have a boat, but I do.
Right, that's what I'm meaning. That's what I was meaning. Well, no, I'm talking my buffalo spot.
Oh,
my
right, right.
Time buffalo spot.
That January is when we went last time.
Yeah, January, February, it's pretty good. So.
Should I said not said? We went in July.
Was the last time you've been bow fishing?
No, I'm just don't want to give you any secrets away. You know.
I don't care.
Yeah, we go in January.
Yeah, January.
It was cold. Man, that one night was cold.
Oh, yeah.
We were running, I took a Snapchat, we were running 42, and I'm like curled up in a ball under your deck, and you're like standing there, just tears frozen to your face.
I'm going to get one of those safe face masks. Not like the,
Punisher?
Goofy looking like skull ones, but like the actual like plastic ones that are like souped up paintball masks.
When Dad was fishing a bunch, he, in those wintertime series tournaments, they wore helmets.
Yeah, Dad used to have helmets in his boat, too, back when I was a kid.
That was painful. It was painful.
Before Gore-Tex and...
Oh, they still, I mean, yeah. If I went out tomorrow, I'd still put one on.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't think twice.
Yeah.
Cold.
You guys got any plans for your boat? Are you going to keep it the same this year?
My finances are not there. I may be able to do something, but
no, I wasn't meaning like build a new boat. I was just meaning.
Well, I mean,
like,
yeah, I'm. I know what you mean.
Okay.
I would like to do a kicker, but we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll
definitely
see.
Thinking about it.
Definitely thinking about it. You know, kids are a precious gift.
Yeah.
But boy, those doctors. Need their money.
They know they're precious.
Oh, gosh. You know, I like my wife's doctor. She's a very nice lady. But whenever I get the bills that we've got and you drive a 2017 Porsche 911 Turbo S.
Yeah.
And I can tell you what the sticker on that car is. It's like, yeah, you're getting paid too much.
Yeah.
So anyway, she works very hard. She's a very nice lady. She takes care of my wife. So... Mm-hmm. That's all fine and dandy. But, you know, maybe not a Turbo S. Maybe just like a nice Carrera. Yeah. Targa top, you know. That'd be fine.
No, I know what you're saying.
Not a $180,000 car.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She's probably making payments on it.
Needless to say, this second kid, I could probably do 3 kickers on my boat. But,
yeah.
You know, children are expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any kids. I bought a mule.
Yeah, talk about your mules.
All my finances.
They're not just random mules. They're not just like for
okay.
Plowing potato fields.
Okay, so a mule is a cross between a horse and a donkey.
That's right.
Do we really need to like explain that? Or?
I didn't know that for the longest time.
Can mules make babies?
No.
Mm.
No, unfortunately not. Yeah. No, I bought her for going out to Colorado.
What's her name?
Her name is Dorothy Mantooth.
And what's her sister's name?
Barbara Bush.
And, buddy, let me tell you, I'm not a mule judge, but...
These are some dang good mules.
Well, I think they're good mules.
They're good mules.
They're good mules.
Have they been rode hard and put up wet?
No, I wouldn't even say that. They're just...
Homely?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're not winning any beauty contests. We're not taking these to the state fair.
Their mothers were not a fine mare. I'm going to say that.
Their mothers may have been... A little promiscuous.
Just imagine the ugliest old jack donkey you ever saw, and then some horse starved out in a pasture, and those are the two parents of our mules.
Yeah.
But they ride well. You know, they're great, and I look forward to taking them out there. I bought them super cheap, and...
You did get a deal on them.
I got a deal on them, and they, you know, they settle up and ride really well, so...
That's gonna be awesome for taking out to Colorado for sure.
It's gonna be
game changer.
Yeah.
What was Ranella's brothers? What did they name their
llamas?
What did they name their llama?
Oh, they had a bunch of names. He has like 10.
You said you were like wanting to name if you ever bought a llama, you'd want to name it this because of the show.
I'm drawing a real blank.
Probably creative.
No. Maybe
Dorothy or
no,
Tina.
Tina.
Yeah, that's from Napoleon Dynamite, though.
Yeah, that's the only llama I know.
Yeah, Tina would be funny.
That's, no, was that what they named their llama, was Tina?
No. No, I'm saying I would name my llama Tina. Oh, Tina, for sure.
Truck Stop Trina.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be the Lady of the Night. Truck Stop Trixie, not Trina.
Oh. At your place?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was she on the payroll?
No.
She not officially.
She rode a bike and wore a wig.
Oh.
Yeah.
Remember that one time you posted a picture?
I'm sure she rode more than a bike, but...
Oh.
I mean, that's what she rode to work.
Well, that one time you sent a picture of like a adult diaper, like just filled.
Yeah.
Just on the parking lot.
Yeah.
It's like, happy Monday.
Yep. I just had to glove up and man up and
get the snow shovel.
Clean it out the parking lot.
Get the power washer.
Yeah.
So yeah. Ooh. Bad image.
That's not in our notes.
No, it is not. So, a couple things before we wrap this dude up.
Already some tournaments coming out for 2018.
Exciting times, kids.
Yes.
Carp Out is back.
It's back. I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a good time.
Dude, that tournament is just...
I think I'm going to take 4 days off this time.
It's just fun. Like the format.
I just love the road trip. Getting in the truck with the dudes.
Yeah.
And
then getting this, when we all stayed together, that was...
Yeah, that was fun.
You guys didn't even shoot it that year, did you?
No, we...
You shot.
We fished. Yep. Yeah, we had a booth. We were slinging batteries. We sold a bunch of batteries. We got, like, phone calls at 1 o'clock in the morning. Hey, I need 2 batteries and a Power Max. I got... I don't care what it cost. It's like, yeah, we'll meet you down there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Dude, we sold all of our Power Maxes. I think we took 6. We sold all the Power Maxes, and then we sold a bunch of batteries.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that we'll have a booth. I don't know. I might just take some product though, just to like have and be like, if you guys need anything, I got some lithiums. Hot deal on some lithiums.
I'll take them.
$1,400 a piece. Make it happen.
Cash.
I'm trying to.
$1,200 for cash.
I'm trying to find the flyer. Where is that?
Is it still same as April 6th? Yeah.
April 6th through the 8th.
Yes.
They're not doing a boat. You know, they're doing
that's
first,
fine.
Second, third. Yeah.
I think half the time the boat is like a anchor more than anything.
Yeah.
They always try to sell them, and they're stuck with it for a while before they have to pay property tax.
Yeah.
Property tax.
So they're doing...
Cash is king.
Big buff, big grassy, the exact weight carp, and then the tag target bonus, which is... Those targets they kind of put out all over the...
Here's why I want a kicker. Place. We can't. We won't compete if we don't have a kicker. We got to cover water, bro.
I ran a troller first year, and I brought a check home.
Did you?
Yeah. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. The last tournament, we swapped out those SPS 190s at 3 a.m. in the morning. It was like, never again.
Yeah. Are those the 150-pound red jobbers?
Yeah.
You still got any of those?
No, they are all gone.
All gone. That was a sweet deal, though, for a while.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, anyway, Mud Creek Carp Classic 2018, April 6th through the 8th.
I guess it's not the Carp Out, it's the Carp Classic.
Yeah. They haven't actually done registration yet, I don't think. But I'd say just follow Mud Creek Outdoors Facebook page, and they'll be able to
get
you rolling.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the Tennessee River Challenge.
Yeah.
That's another one that we got some updates on, or we saw posted May 26th. This has got an interesting format.
Yeah, so it's a big four.
Big four.
Is
it individual four? It's like
it's big four with individual four.
Ah, that's right. That's right.
So it pays $30,000, $10,000, and $5,000, and then it pays $1,500 first, $500 second for biggest common, biggest buffalo, biggest gar.
Mm.
Then there's a wild card species. I'm assuming they'll draw for it.
Goldfish.
Yeah, goldfish or...
Largemouth bass.
Yeah. Shad or something.
Spotted trout. That's not even a trout, is
speckled
it?
Speckled trout.
That's ocean trout.
Yeah, you can shoot them in Louisiana.
That's right. That's where I was thinking.
You'd know if you went with us.
Well...
So yeah, that tournament's May 26th.
I was going to have a kid.
But you didn't.
I know.
And the contact information for that is Cole and Glenn. I think that's Cole. Claris, or I don't know how to say his last name. He's a little young guy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So anyway, I think those two tournaments are on the same bodies of water. Both of them out of like the Gunnersville area. So.
Yeah. Nice. That'll be fun. I love. That's a good area.
Yeah.
It was fun. That Huddle House was delicious.
Oh, man. Huddle House is good about anywhere.
It hit the spot. That's the night that that storm rolled in. Everybody got off the water. That was the first. It wasn't the tournament night.
So did I tell you the story? I don't know if you may have heard it back at the house, but so our buddy Joey Orr, he went down there with his son and his brother-in-law.
Yeah, they stayed with us.
Yep. And the night that storm rolled in, I think that was a scouting night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Thursday night. Yeah, that was our first night.
We went out after the storm. So he put in somewhere up around north of Scottsboro, and then he ran all the way down like to where the lake kind of splits around Gunnersville.
Mm-hmm.
And he said all of a sudden, I texted him. I said, you need to go off the water. A storm's coming in. And he goes, I hadn't looked up all night. And he goes, he looked up and saw the line of lightning coming, and he had to pee. So he was like, well, I can hold it. So he puts his rain gear on, and they head back towards the truck. They get, like, halfway there, and, like, he's about to burst.
Yeah.
And so he shuts the boat down. He stands up, and he's trying to strip down all of his rain gear. Couldn't pull it off in time.
Oh.
He just let her go.
Hey, man.
He kicked his shoe off.
That's That's probably smart.
Wow. Wow.
Sorry, Joey.
No, I didn't hear that. He acted funny that night.
Yeah. He showered awful quick.
Hey.
That was his brother-in-law that was in the bathroom calling some dinosaurs that one night.
Oh, yeah, he was. He was.
I thought that was you.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
When I first went to bed, I thought maybe you were in the bathroom. I was like, man.
No.
I thought maybe you got sick or something from Huddle House.
No.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It'll be good. Let's wrap this thing. Oh, any speculation for the U.S. Open? Any hopes, dreams, and wishes?
Not here, I hope.
Yes, that's my only hope. I don't really care where it is.
I think there's a lot of areas that could be good.
I don't think you have to go far from here either. I think you could go. I mean, even if it was, well, they don't have a store like the Ozarks.
Yeah, but I don't think Lake of the Ozarks would be I think they would catch so much flack from the homeowners on that lake.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Imagine how much.
They have a store in Little Rock.
Stories. Yeah. I mean, Arkansas would be cool. Oklahoma has a lot of good lakes.
Yep, yep. I can't imagine they go too far. But you never know. They could pull a Texas or...
I think up north. Gosh, I want to go up there so bad.
We talked about... We were going to do a Wisconsin or something trip if the Carp Out wasn't happening or the Carp Classic.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be hard to break. But, yeah, that'd be cool up there.
Yes.
But, anyway.
I don't know.
They got a few more stores now to use, don't they?
Yeah.
The Calabellas.
Calabellas?
I'd go down to the Calabellas.
Is that like saying you're going to Target? I'm going to Target.
I'm going to Target.
We knew a guy from northern Missouri.
That's right.
He called it Calabellas.
Calabellas.
He would always clear his throat after he said it. He would
say,
Calabellas. Always. Always. Yeah.
You've been kind of quiet over there. After your mules.
I had to speak up to that.
Yeah.
Mm. Killing them big northern Missouri bucks.
Yep.
Did okay.
Did you talk about that? You did.
No. Nah,
yeah,
not our story to tell.
Yep.
So, okay. Well, guys, it's been real. It's been good.
And all you guys listening.
Yep.
For free. You know, I'm just asking you. If you listen on iTunes, go to iTunes, go to podcast, then click that little star over on the right side for a 5-star review.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even care if you write anything.
Yeah, just write. Great work.
Yeah.
Hashtag. Luke Bryant is Dale a hottie. Jr. Yeah, Dale Jr. Luke Bryant.
I can't believe you gave me such a hard time because I won.
Dude, Luke Bryant tickets. See, here's the thing. Like, there's a deep part of me that's like, he bought tickets and he's saying he one of them.
No, if I bought them, I'd flat tell you I bought the tickets.
I thought my text back was hilarious because it was like, you're going to Luke Bryant and I'm going to Elton John, and how is it that you're still the gay one?
I don't know which one I would rather go to because they both are just...
One will die and go in Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and one won't.
Is he down?
Is he down? That's all I wanted out of Chase. I wanted an Instagram story of a reincarnation of Izzy Down. That's all I wanted.
Oh, I wanted to do that too.
Is he down? You know what? I've heard a lot of stories about that guy saying he's a really great, friendly, just good dude. And it's like, you know what? That's fantastic, but I still hate his music.
Country girl, shake it for me.
Oh, just, no. I don't, yeah. Sorry. So, you know what? Luke Bryan, probably a great guy. If that's even your real name. Probably isn't.
I love that you're acting like he listens to this.
He does. He does. And listen, hey.
We'd have you on the show.
Chase would.
I'll take you bow fishing.
I probably wouldn't be very nice. I
would jam out to Tyler Childers all night.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Dude, man.
Should I get that t-shirt and wear the one I told you I was going to get to the concert? It says, I hate pop country.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. No question. No, I saw Tyler Childers in Columbia 2 weeks ago, and he is my age, and he's a heck of a songwriter. Just, whoa.
Yeah. But
I've never seen somebody with a crazier look in their eye. Like, he starts singing, and it's like, he might murder this entire crowd. He had this bug eye. He'd, like, tilt his head sideways, and his eyes get real big, and he's singing, and it's like, he might kill someone. And, like, some chick, he, like, called her out. She peed all on the floor, like, right in the front row. He's like, what are you doing? It's like, you don't pee your pants in public. It was awesome. He called her out and was like, get her out of here. He's a crazy man. It's good music.
I can see that, though. Even in your Snapchat video, he was, like, getting that crazy, like...
Oh, man. He tilted his head sideways a little bit, like what's that famous movie? The Red Room or whatever.
Red Room?
Yeah, where...
Sling
Blade? No. The Shining. Oh, you know, when he's, like, cracking... He breaks through the door, and he sticks his head through, and he's got that bug-eyed... Tilts his head sideways. It was just like that.
Wow, what a show.
There's only like six people listening, or maybe two. Yeah. Thanks, Mom. Okay, we're done. So, guys, thanks a lot.
Leave us a review. Like us on Facebook, Instagram.
It's good times.
Let me know if you like my memes. I've been working hard on
them. Yeah, those are all Chase. I checked my inbox at like 2 o'clock one day and had 14 new memes pulled up.
It's like, yeah.
Dang.
Shake and bake.
That's right.
And thanks, Neeball, for sharing them.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Peace.
So long.
I don't know why I said peace.
Bye.